Welcome to the Esports Business Network podcast. I'm your host, Trent Knox. I'm the founder and CEO of Esports Business Network. This is EBN podcast number 51. Our guest is David Kalin, the founder and CEO of Classic Game Fest and Game Over Video Games. In this podcast, I interviewed David about his journey from electronic sales associate at a big box retailer to owner and operator of Game Over Video Games. What was the origin of Classic Game Fest and his observations of the resale market for retro video games? Enjoy.
This is the future. Evolution. This is the future.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back to another Esports Business Network podcast. I'm your host, Trent Knox. I'm joined with someone who's has an outstanding resume and credentials in the industry, both in gaming and esports and so many other different things. I've been privileged to be able to cover his events over the course of the past 3 years, albeit the 1 year we had a pandemic. That's it. So welcome to the show, David Kalin.
Hi, thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. So David is the founder, CEO, president of Game Over Video Game Store, and also the coordinator and founder of Classic Game Fest. And we're going to be talking a lot about those two things, especially the secondhand market and how that works, how you do an event. We're going to be talking about retro gaming and whatnot. But before we jump into that, I want to get to know David a little bit better. How did you get into gaming, and then what got you to taking it seriously as a career, profession, and all of that?
Let's see. I guess I've always been a gamer. I'm more of a casual gamer, so I've never been super hardcore about it, but it's always been a part of my life. I grew up with the industry. I had an Atari when I was a little kid, then Nintendo and Genesis. And I kind of moved on, as the industry moved on. And, it was always a part of life. It was never the only thing I did, but it was always a part of life. I always enjoyed it, obviously. And, I guess growing up and, working retail and sales and management type jobs out in the world, I ended up with, at one point I worked at Target and sold out of the electronics department there. So that would have been like, N64 age, I guess Super Nintendo and even a couple of NES games were still hanging around at that point. Real late releases that came out like in the early 90s, when they had like the classic NES or not the classic, the top loader NES out. So got a little into it there. Then I went on to another position as a store manager at EB Games. And so I ran the store in Barton Creek Mall in Austin here for a couple of years, I guess in like mid-90s, late 90s. And then getting to the point where, I wanted to start a business for myself. That was actually the time in history when, GameStop was basically like merging with and buying out and putting out of business every other game store on the planet, and including EB. So they got gobbled up. That was the biggest acquisition by GameStop. So the market essentially went down to just GameStop at that point. And then what they did as the market, monster that they were, they decided they wanted to focus on current gen games. And so they started clearancing out, all the old stuff. They had the big clearance bins up front, and I remember the glory days when you could go into any GameStop and find these bins of 99-cent NES cartridges and Super Nintendo cartridges, and just, it was junk to them. They were just clearancing it out. And so I wanted to have my own business, and I loved running the game store. I loved other, retail and management jobs I had. So I wanted to do something, in retail. And so I saw that as a market for me that, you know, I always liked the older stuff more. I liked the retro gaming, you know, I love, you know, NES and Super NES and Genesis kind of the most, like that, you know, 80s and into the early 90s, you know, era. And to see it all just kind of clearanced out everywhere else and everybody saying, no, you don't need that anymore. That's all, you know, like there was no resale market really back then. Yeah. It was all junk. And it would end up at, you know, the clearance bin at GameStop. It would be, you know, on the shelves at Goodwill and places like that. It was just junk to everybody. And so I wanted to have my store and my business focus on that because that was my real love of video games. And so that's where Game Over was born. And so I started that in 2005. And that was just at that time, just a very small location. And it was just me. There were no employees or anything. You know, I basically worked the store 6 days a week. And then on Sundays I did the bills. And so it was just, you know, a nonstop, ordeal, you know, taking on a small business like that. And anybody that has a small business, you know that everybody that knows small business knows that's how it is. You know, you basically kind of wear every hat in the business and you do everything. And, you know, I would do everything from scrubbing the games myself with a toothbrush to get them clean to, you know, paying the rent every month. And so, you know, in time, retro gaming became more of a thing and the market picked up and Game Over grew with that. And so eventually, you know, we had more locations, you know, more employees and the company just kind of grew and expanded. And then in 2007, about 2 years later, as that was all happening, it was growing and expanding and everything. One of the things we did was have a big summer gaming tournament, a retro gaming tournament. You know, we played Atari games out in our parking lot on a big inflatable movie screen and made this big deal out of it. And we literally had hundreds of people just in the parking lot of our store, you know, playing Atari late at night on like a Friday night. And that was Classic Game Fest. That's how that started. And so then we did it every year in the summertime. It got bigger and bigger. At one point we even had different locations of it at our different stores and even spreading it out to multiple Game Over locations. We couldn't handle the crowds. Like it kept growing and growing. So eventually we went full convention with it. And so I spun that off as a separate business. I guess about, you know, maybe 4 or 5 years after that. And so now they don't happen at Game Over stores anymore. Game Over still sells the wristbands and we obviously help promote and stuff for it. But Classic Game Fest is now run like a convention and it's its own thing. It's its own separate business. And we've been running it at the Palmer Event Center in Austin, Texas for, I want to say 7 years or so now, maybe eight. I kind of forget. but that's where it is now. And we started with even a small space there. And now this year we literally have taken over the entire building, including the upstairs, like meeting rooms and conference rooms. And we'll have stuff in the hallway. We're everywhere. We're over that whole building now. Just to fit everything that, that we have. You know, and then plus with this year, with COVID being, an issue last year, obviously, and we had to cancel that event. You know, we wanted to have even more space, you know, so we filled it up and we expanded upstairs and everything, but it also hopefully to people coming in, it will feel about the same as it has in the past. So it's not going to feel too big or too crowded because everything is spread out over a wider area. But it's amazing how it's grown and we get, you know, 6,000-7,000 people most years to that. You know, we're not sure this year what it's going to be, but we're expecting pretty close to normal numbers from what we've seen so far in ticket sales and everything. So yeah, that's, I guess, the long version of how
I appreciate that. I so much appreciate that experience and that story. It just, you know, kind of reminded me of things that were going on in my life. Since I'm a younger millennial, I was in that period of time that you were talking about where EB Games was being purchased by GameStop. And I remember I didn't, back when I was growing up, it wasn't, there was the Walmarts, the Targets, the Best Buys, the Circuit mm-hmm. Cities, they were selling games, but I would go to Game Crazy, which was attached to the Hollywood Video, which was put out of business by the Blockbusters and whatnot. But that was where I was at. And then fast forwarding to 2015, I also worked in the video in the electronics department at Walmart during the seasonal time, and sold video games. And you know what's interesting about that was I knew what the best deals were. I've actually told this story before, but I knew where the best deals were, and I knew why they were hiding certain deals. Because the managers were trying to get the PlayStation at $199, you know, and it was interesting. And you mentioned the 99-cent bins for N64s, NES games, and whatnot like that. That was so crazy to me. That's just so mind-boggling to me, because those games that were 99 cents are hundreds of dollars now, you know, and it kind of reminded me of the record business, because you have in Austin, I'm sure you knew, I'm sure you kind of modeled in some way after Waterloo, you know, and seeing like how that's where classic video games are, the direction that classic video games are going. And so like your story and everything that it builds up from Game Over to Classic Games Fest, I want to know, like, what's been the change as far as secondhand resale, the resale market for video games? Like, when was the first time you saw like that there was a real market for this?
Well, when I started Game Over, I mean, it was slow at first, really within that first year or so, it started to pick up. And I could feel that, you know, we were one of a few, you know, indie game stores kind of around at that time, because again, everybody else thought old stuff was junk. And so, you know, that's not a business model, you know, that's worth pursuing for anybody. But there were some others like me that started around that time, you know, 15, 20 years ago. But it kind of picked up steam, you know, all around us, and you could see it and you could feel it, and you could tell by, you know, the trades that were coming in, and, you know, what you would pay for stuff. And, you know, I mean, in the beginning, just kind of like GameStop, I mean, we would pay, you know, just pennies for stuff, you know, because it would all sell for like $2 or $3. And, you know, so you can't invest that much money in it. And it was a really low, you know, low volume. Right. But as things went on, you know, like we couldn't, I mean, I remember the beginning, like when we first opened, I think we were selling like Mario 3 on NES for like $6. And like, I can't even buy that from somebody now for $6, you know, to sell it. So we're sure not going to sell it for $6 now. But yeah, it's just, it's been a fun and really crazy kind of ride going along with this market that, you know, used to be, you know, it went from like junk status where everything is available everywhere and would sell even at retail for a couple of bucks a piece, to the point where it is now where, you know, trades are hard to come by. You know, you got to pay, you know, a lot more like percentage wise than you used to in the past. You know, but then the retail, resale market on it, as you said, some of these old games, I mean, it's $100, $200. I mean, it's crazy stuff that you remember 20 years ago was in a dump bin at a GameStop or at a Goodwill or something. And, you know, and now it's $100 or more dollars. So it's crazy how the market has kind of grown, but as you pointed out, it's actually a lot like, you know, a lot of the other secondhand markets that are out there. You know, I don't think Game Over is that different from, you know, like Tower Records or, you know, even Beyond Music, you know, clothing like Plato's Closet or places like that resell clothes and, you know, any kind of a resale market, you know, even games and collectibles and stuff like that.
Yeah. That's what I was going to ask you.
It went from being a really freak thing that maybe a few people would have and you pretty much have to sell it like on eBay to even find somebody that would even give you money for it. And then it wasn't even that much. And now it's the opposite where everybody wants the stuff. It's so hard to come by and it all sells for really top dollar. So, you know, there's always a struggle, right? So like any business, you know, you have struggles like just getting the business off the ground, getting customers in the door. You got to struggle, you know, paying the bills, paying for product. And then, you know, and then now you've got struggles like in this industry of finding the product. So there's plenty of customers out there for retro gaming, and they're plenty willing to spend that $100 and up per game. But the real struggle now is getting the stuff, because the trade-in market, it's much smaller. There's many more people that buy to keep than buy to eventually just play and resell like later on. The whole GameStop circle of life thing, like it doesn't really happen that way anymore. You know, people buy things and, they want to keep a collection. And so they'll have a room in their house that has thousands and thousands of video games in it. Sometimes they never play them. That's just for show, you know, just for like a cool background on a YouTube channel. And they don't even touch the stuff. But what they do is they permanently remove it from the resale market. Sad to say, helps drive up a lot of the pricing in the retro market. It's just because people, they scavenge and game chase for the stuff. And then when they get it, they don't want to resell it. They just want to keep it as like trophies on a wall. And so that market, the available product for that market gets smaller every year. And so the prices will keep going up as long as that's the case.
Wow. I have so many questions. I've got
questions. Sorry, too much.
No, I like I said, I was going to ask you about also adjacently trading card game, TGC, and also with arcades, full units, arcade units.
All of it blowing up now. All of it blowing up.
It's all blowing up. And that's the thing, with your Logan Pauls, your Miskivs, your Pokemon guys, those guys have really propelled this. And I don't even call it secondhand market, because it's not really. It's just a reseller's market, to be honest, when it comes to like, this is what I was going to ask you about. What has it sort of moved from, trade-ins and that aspect to like now you're seeing graded Beckett PSA box set games coming into your store and people trying to find out what the value of these items are?
Yeah, there's a lot of that now. Because people used to kind of treat retro gaming as junk, as surplus, stuff, and they would bring it in, buy the box load, and happily sell it for pennies on the dollar because they just wanted to get rid of the stuff. Now it's the opposite. So people used to kind of tease our stores about we were full of common stuff, but not the good stuff. And now it's kind of the opposite. Now like Game Over stores have so much good stuff, and the commons are running in short supply because people just don't bring in that big box load of stuff anymore that has mostly commons in it. But what we do see is we see a lot of collections, because people know that it's actually a seller's market for retro games. So if you have good games and you have good systems and in demand stuff, you'll get more from Game Over than you've ever gotten in the past from Game Over for stuff. You'll get more from, anybody than ever because that's the market. It's a seller's market. It's not a buyer's market anymore. There's pros and cons to each way. And we can't control it. We just have to go with the flow of the market. Right now it's a seller's market. And what we see the most coming into our stores right now is big, badass collections of stuff. And it's just day after day, store after store, we see them come in and it's amazing. But it's because you can get more than a few pennies per game now. I mean, you can get, dollars and 20s and 30s and, $50 a game sometimes by trading it. And so now people are willing to sell that good stuff. They wouldn't maybe feel as comfortable just unloading for pennies in the past. So the selection of games, the quality of the games is good, but the selection overall is still less because there's more people that collect now. And that whole like buy it and put it on the shelf thing where it just takes it completely out of the market for everybody. No matter what price you're willing to spend, it's just you can't get it when it's in somebody's house and they won't give it up. It's just a constantly changing market, and hopefully at some point that'll change. We have seen lately with this trend where it's not just like moms cleaning out their kids' closet, bringing in random kind of crap game stuff anymore. It's collectors, and they realize that if you're in the market to sell, and you want to just unload it, you know, nice and easy to a game store like Game Over, I mean, you will get the most money you've ever gotten now for it. So, it, you know, it's not going to be retail because obviously then we sell it at retail. But as far as like the trade-in values, they're higher than ever.
So,
I mean, that definitely gets people to trade the stuff in. But it's constantly a battle to balance, you know, what we pay out for stuff and what we get in. So, you know, in our stores, we want to have a well-balanced store, right? We don't want to have all crap and no good games. And we don't want to have all $100 and up games and no, I don't want to say crap, but no regular games that you can just walk in and walk out for like $5 or $10 with. So we have to be really, you know, choosy with our trades, and acquire as much stuff as we can through any other means just to have that well-balanced store, so that a Game Over store still has a full representation of each department, even when that department, like Dreamcast or GameCube or something, you know, like those are like gold now. Like you can't, it's hard to keep a little tiny section in a store for GameCube or Dreamcast, because as soon as you get a collection in, like the next day someone buys out and then you got empty shelves again. So it's constantly be, you know, buying and, you know, get people to keep coming in and selling their stuff. It's a battle. It really is. It's a struggle for anybody who's in this business to keep up with it, because it's growing so fast. And the trading card market's the same. You know, arcades are the same. Like there's a big market right now for nostalgia and all this retro related stuff. It's coming back in a big way, but it's coming back at very high prices, unfortunately.
Yeah, I forgot to ask you. Are you originally from Texas?
I was born in California, but lived most of my life in Texas. So I consider myself a Texan.
Yeah.
In Austin for, you know, the past 30, 40 years.
Yeah. I was wondering that because you've probably seen the market shift over the time that you've lived here. And, so my other question was going to be, and again, I wanted to preface that because, the Classic Games Fest, which is coming up here, on July, is it? Don't let me get it wrong. So I'll ask you to say it.
Just letting you go. It's the 24th and 25th.
Okay, good. That's what was on my mind, but
it's very soon. So get ready. It's going to be crazy.
Classic Games Fest on July 24th. In Austin, Texas, at the Palmer Events Center. And going back a little bit to Game Over before we jump directly into that Classic Games Fest, how many locations are you at now, and are you expanding?
We have expanded a lot. Not as much these past couple of years because, you know, obviously, if there's anything right now, it's like, except for the past few years, those have been kind of a nightmare for all of us, but no, we have 12 stores right now. So Game Over stores, there's 10 in Texas, 2 in Washington. You know, we had started, several years ago, you know, kind of expanding throughout the state many years ago throughout the state. And then a few years ago out of state, even into Washington. So we're in like the Seattle area. But then retail kind of, you know, slowed down. There was a lot of like online shift of even before COVID, people just shopping online versus the retail store. So that's been a struggle, you know, for us, even before COVID. And then of course there was COVID where, you know, everything was shut down in every way last year. And it just brought, you know, it brought Classic Game Fest, it brought Game Over, it brought, you know, businesses and restaurants left and right, across America to a screeching halt and put about half of them out of business. So we're very thankful to still be in business. We thank everybody that's still, you know, online or during our limited, you know, and restricted mask wearing and all that stuff, came into the Game Over stores in the past year and bought stuff from us because, you know, every person that basically bought something from Game Over in some way, shape or form in 2020, you know, kept us alive and kept us, you know, from being bankrupt. So we really appreciate that. You know, and then this year, you know, things have been going well, things are opening up, people are back out. And so the retro market is on fire and, you know, we're one of the, you know, the few indie game stores out there that still, you know, is left and alive and has a good inventory of stuff. And so, you know, we're doing really well this year in the stores and then Classic Game Fest, like you said, that's also back in full force this year. We've got all the restrictions in Austin ended on July 1st. So, you know, our event on the 24th and 25th, you know, it's fully open to the public, full capacity, no mask requirements. You know, it's on like it's 2018.
Like Donkey Kong.
Yeah, it's all like Donkey Kong. It's going to be great. So we're really excited about that. And just in general, just, I mean, I don't know any person, you know, any American that, you know, doesn't just sometimes go to the grocery store now or to a store like Game Over. And, you know, when you leave, just be like, wow, you know, it's just normal shopping there again, you know, and mm-hmm. you don't have to deal with all the lines and the masks and the restrictions and, you know, it's like standing on the little squares in the store where you had to be like Frogger and you would take a little step and then you have to hop to the next little step. And, you know, just when you get to just walk in and out of the grocery store, walk in and out of a Game Over store or whatever, you know, and it's just like, wow, it's so nice to be kind of back to normal. You know, it's not perfect, but it's so much better than it's been in the past year and a half. It's so nice.
Yeah, absolutely. And before we jump into what Classic Games Fest is today, you mentioned, and I wasn't familiar with this, a little history on the Classic Games Fest. It used to be at a singular location, then it branched out to the multiple stores. Mm-hmm. And was that just in Texas or was that also in Washington as well?
That was just in Texas.
Just in Texas.
Yeah, it started as a spinoff of Game Over. It was like our summer tournament, and then it was a summer series of tournaments, and then it was a summer series throughout our Texas stores, which I think was about five at that time. And then it just got so much to manage that basically I would, you know, I had to go back to just one big event in a convention center or else, mm-hmm. you know, I couldn't run both because it's mm-hmm. it's impossible for me to be in both places at once all year long. Like I can do it for July. You know, I can stretch myself really thin in July and make both things work. But it's tough to maintain year round, you know, two ongoing businesses like that.
Right. And so with that being said, what tournaments were included? Let's talk about the esports side of it for a little bit. Mm-hmm. You have FGC. Were you guys doing speed running? Were you also doing like Ironman challenges? What were you guys including in those tournaments early on?
Yeah, in the early ones, most of them were just Atari or classic NES, and mm-hmm. You know, we had like what do we have, like Joust tournament. We had a Pong tournament, like on this big inflatable screen in the parking lot, people playing Pong. It was hilarious and awesome.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, so it's mostly like just fun. You know, we did you know, several years, a lot of Mario Kart, a lot of Smash Brothers, you know, some of the games you'd maybe expect. But we always try to keep it light and keep it fun, where it's, you know, I like the Game Over stores and also the Classic Game Fest events to cater to everybody. Mm-hmm. So I want everyone to be able to play in the tournaments. So we try and keep the rules pretty general. You know, it's not pro level. We're not playing for like huge cash prizes and anything. So we try and keep the pressure light so that you can actually have like kids compete against adults and compete against like pro gamers or esports players that they're all at kind of the same level. And mm-hmm. so, you know, the way to do that is to normally play the really old games, because that way they're playing with a controller that they're maybe all equally uncomfortable with, you know, or a game or a version of that game that they're all equally unfamiliar with. You know, doing tournaments like Smash, that everybody, you know, does Smash tournaments all the time. They're everywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's always, you know, using that GameCube style controller. You know, and so there's people that competitively play that, and you know, and so just an average person on the street or a kid, you know, walking into a tournament, I mean, they're going to get eliminated in like, you know, round one, game one. And mm-hmm. so it's no fun for them. And so, you know, we always try and make it where the games are very easy, very approachable, accessible to all skill levels. And, you know, and if you are a pro level, you know, esports competitor, normally Classic Game Fest is not for you, honestly. You know, I never want to turn people away, but I definitely like being honest with people about what it is. You know, and CGF is a coming together of an entire family. You know, there's two or three generations often that'll come to CGF and enjoy the convention experience together. Mm-hmm. And so whether it's playing in the tournament or just walking around or playing demos that people have set up at their booths, you know, and even shopping and collecting games. I mean, there's like, you know, parents and kids that collect games together now and play retro games together now. It's really cool to see. But we always try and encourage that. So every tournament we've ever done from the beginning until now with Classic Game Fest is definitely non-professional, and very, very casual and approachable to any player. So that's always our goal with it, to keep it accessible to everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. And, esports has gotten this reputation of being very high frequency, 1% of people are able to participate. But as other companies and things get into the space, we're starting to see that kind of balance out from recreational esports to casual esports to the professional esports, and esports getting that more general definition terminology. And I include Classic Game Fest in esports if it's something that someone wants to come have fun doing or wants to, play on some older machines. It's a activity you're getting out there, whereas you would be normally sitting on your couch or playing an emulator or doing something that's kind of mimicking the experience that you would get if you came to a Classic Game Fest. And so let me talk about experience a little bit and ask you, this year, what's the experience going to be like? Previous years when I've gone and covered the event, you're walking from the parking garage to the Palmer Event Center. Along the way, you're greeted by other gamers. You're greeted by some of the staff walking back. You're seeing the security guard. You're saying hello. And you enter the door, and it's just this huge line of people waiting to get their wristbands and friendly staff at the front. Talk a little bit about the experience that we can expect this year.
Well, pretty much that. That's always what we go for. It is a large event. Especially this year, people need to be aware of that. The fact that there will be a lot of people there and there will be no COVID restrictions. So, please get vaccinated before you go, because we won't be checking and we don't have any type of rules against that at this point. So, Austin is already well over the 70% vaccination threshold. It's a very, very high level. And so, it's definitely a safe environment. But some people may need to, be sure they're comfortable because there will be, 5,000 to 7,000 people there. But the cool thing is, just like in years past, Classic Game Fest, no matter how big it's gotten, it's always been a very, just like the tournaments I was talking about, very casual and approachable, setup. Our volunteers and staff are great. We use a lot of the people from the Game Over stores that help, to run it. And then we take a lot of volunteers from the outside too, that help us. And so it's a whole team of people, but we all love Classic Games and we want everyone to have a good time. It's great that, you experience that and everybody, should experience that coming in. It's a gathering of people that all share a love of video games. So it's not just a esports event. It's not just there are some retro events that happen now in a lot of cities, like citywide events that are more like swap meets and just like one day kind of buy and sell expos and stuff like that. And those are great for like buying and selling games, but it's not really the full convention experience. And what we want at Classic Game Fest is people to have that full experience. You can buy and sell games there, of course, and there's tons. It's literally the biggest in Texas. And this year it might actually be the biggest in the country because the biggest one is normally Portland and they're not happening this year. So we may be, either number one, two or three, in the entire nation this year, as far as size for a retro gaming event. But it's always the biggest in Texas and it's always a lot of fun. And people that come in, whether you're looking to buy or sell, we definitely have you covered there. We have more vendors than any other show. But we also, in addition to that, we have the tournaments that again are approachable and accessible to all, free to enter. So there's no high stakes, there's no high cost. It's just, you just walk in and play or sign up and play. But we also do costume contests. We have a lot of live video game music played by live bands. We do panels. We have some special guests from the industry every year that come out that again, we don't We don't have them separated from the crowd. We never have the guests separated where they charge for autographs or there's like a line you have to wait in, you know, velvet ropes and stuff like that. It's all very, it's very casual and approachable. Like, you know, all of our guests will actually have a booth on the vendor floor all weekend and you can walk up and talk to them, and they're very nice people. And, you know, you can, you know, take pictures with them. You can have them sign your favorite game or the game they were in or they created, you know, and just chat with them. And I love that part of Classic Game Fest, you know, even more so than the fact that there's a lot of vendors, you know, buying and selling games there, because that's what really makes it a community, right? Instead of a, you know, like just a big, you know, video game garage sale, it's there's more to it than that. It's a bringing together of the entire community. So people that like to buy and sell, that like to play, that like to just listen to the music, that like to just maybe hang out with their family and talk about what grandpa and mom and you know, kid, all three generations play together. It's a really cool mix of people, and the vibe is always really good. It's you know, Austin is well known for that kind of laid back vibe, and I think Classic Game Fest and Game Over both, you know, try and exude that all the time too. You know, so people feel comfortable coming in the doors, and they know they're going to have, you know, a good time and you know, really enjoy their experience.
I was actually trying to look up right there on, for those of you that heard that moment, brief moment of silence, the video that I did, I think it was in 2019, where I did like a walkthrough of Classic Game Fest, and it's risen in a lot of views, because obviously Classic Game Fest has become one of the largest, if not the largest, you know, retro gaming festival in the world, in some ways. Is there any, like, I was going to ask you. Yeah, it's possible, because I mean, look, it's the United States. We've got the biggest markets. It's most likely the largest in the world. It's a different experience, because even in the gaming industry, in the Comic-Con industry, in any nerd geek culture, it's a totally different experience than you're probably familiar with if you've attended any of those events. Even anime festivals, it's different, because when you approach, when you enter those doors and you're greeted by those greeters at the front of the festival, and they hand you the pamphlet that says this is the events and this is what's going on, and they just say hello, and you enter the doors and you notice something's different, because it is community. It's not all competition. Everybody wants to see everybody succeed. Even it's not just game over everywhere in there. You have of your competitors in the space. Like one of them that is located in Georgetown, Game Exchange. I used to go to them. I've been to Game Over as well. There are people. It's a community of retro gaming enthusiasts, traders, players, everyone is there. Even has some aspects of retro gaming cosplay to the music that you talk about, like 8-bit. I'm sorry, I'm gonna mispronounce their names, but a band, I think it's called 8-bit. and then you kind of go through the marketplace area, and if you watch this virtual video or virtual walkthrough, you'll see on, you know, the map and the layout's going to be different this year. I'm sure, because of the social distancing and things like that. But you would see, you know, the older, Apple computers and older, units on the right there. But then you'd go into the back area and it's full of, shout out to Imran Acosta. Yeah. Arcades for sale just everywhere on the side, and Texas Gamer Lounge. And then you'd have a middle area with GameCubes, Ataris, all of the classic consoles in the middle there. And you'd see these big screens where you could see the competitions going on. And then you'd have the stage where the panels are going on. And for me and the Esports Business Network, we really appreciate those panels, because it's where people who are in the industry, talking about the industry and talking about the where the business is going, what can we expect from those panels? Is there anything that you're really looking forward to?
I mean, that's, every year, one of the highlights is the entertainment we put on stage, at the main stage. We only have one stage and, you know, it's always, has something going on it. So it's mm-hmm. live video game music. We try and have multiple different, genres, so there's rock, there's metal, there's rap, there's, just DJ, just background, actually like soundtracks from games. But it's always a wide mix. And in the panels, we always have people from the industry. So, it's nice to have people talk about games that just like them. But I think it's always better to have people that, that actually like created those games there. And so the big guest we have this year, we have, like the original artist for Mortal Kombat, Paul, I'm going to mess up his name, Paul Niemeyer. and then we have John St. John, who's Duke Nukem. And we also have Brian Collin, who's the creator of Rampage and a bunch of classic, like Genesis and Super Nintendo era games, and arcade classics. It really doesn't matter what those guys say, but it's always entertaining to listen to them just talk about like what it was like to create their game or their artwork or what their contribution was to the market, because these are people mm-hmm. It's great to have YouTubers there. I love YouTubers, but people that are 20 years old talking about retro games is nice, but mm-hmm. people that are my age, or that actually created those games is just a world of difference, because they can tell you what it was like who was in the room when the game E.T. was made, who mm-hmm. was there, what was the vibe, what was the logic. And we had, Howard Scott Warshaw, who created E.T., several years back. And it was really interesting to hear him talk. Cause everybody hates on that game. And he was like, look, I had like no time, no budget. It was just me. I thought it was pretty good for just that circumstance. And mm-hmm. interesting to hear, you might hear all the noise about how bad it is, but when you hear his side about like why it is that way and how he really did, try and make lemonade out of lemons, like it's really interesting to see and hear the stories that you don't know from the behind the scenes people that were actually there. And so I always love that. It's one of my favorite things too about CGF is the actual panels from the people that were there back in the 80s and 90s.
Kind of talking a little bit about what's going to be new or different than previous years because of the social distancing. You mentioned that there's now an upstairs level. What's going to be going on in that second level?
Yeah. So you mentioned some of this just a minute ago. So Classic Games has evolved over the years, right? And it's been at the Palmer Event Center for a long time, but we've always mm-hmm. tweaked the look and format a little bit from year to year. And one of the things that we did this year, because of COVID and kind of preparing for the potential for some really restrictive like social distancing rules and capacity limits and things like that, we tried to look at the whole building from a whole new light and how can we use even more space where there's gaps. So there'll be some space in places that maybe wasn't there before, or an empty booth here or there, just to like to allow for room to breathe. Mm-hmm. And space for people to get away from, vendors and to have, kind of a safe space. And so as part of that goal overall, we've shifted some of the things that were downstairs in the, what I would call like the entertainment hall, where we had the tournaments and the stage and mm-hmm. The museum and all the cool kind of stuff to just hang out when you weren't buying
right,
stuff.
Right.
So a lot of that stuff is now moved, upstairs. And so the upstairs is like a series of conference rooms that we've kind of combined together into one big space or two spaces. One of them is a big space for the stage. And so, that'll also benefit from, the acoustics of the sound being in a smaller space versus in that big hall, where we're sometimes hard to hear in the back of the room. Even with microphones, the sound would get just lost in the space. But being in more of a conference room where, people normally have, microphones and give speeches and things, it's the sound will carry better up there. And it's a little tighter. So it's a, you know, something we were going to have to limit capacity on, but now we don't. So that won't be an issue this year, but it's plenty of space to have the stage and the bands and the panels up there. We also, one of the other meeting rooms upstairs, we're going to convert into an arcade. So Imran and Arcades for Home and Pinballs and Game Plan Entertainment, they all supply arcades for CGF every year. We love them all. And so basically, instead of spreading them out, just kind of in random places in that event entertainment space, like we've done in years past, we're combining them all together into an arcade. So we're actually building an arcade at Classic Game Fest this year. So it's going to be one room, all the arcades in it, dim lights. it's going to be as close to an arcade feel as we can get. And so I'm really excited about that. That's also something that we weren't necessarily going to be able to do with COVID rules, but now luckily we are. And so I'm really excited about the arcade that we're going to do. But then downstairs, by moving those things upstairs, there's a little more room to play with down there. And so we have more space around the tournament areas. So there'll be places to play and see the tournaments up on a screen or up on the wall. We're going to project like right on the wall, like big, images of the games going on. But also there'll be some tables and chairs for people to just watch and kind of hang back or wait for their turn to play. So there'll be, again, more chill space than there has been in years past. And then on the other side of that hall, the concession area is going to be a lot bigger than we've had in the past.
Oh, that's amazing. That's goodness.
A lot more tables and chairs over there. A lot more food options. We also this year have talked to the center about getting as many options as we can and as low of prices as we can. Obviously we can't control most of that. We know that we've heard in the past that, people hate paying convention prices for food, right. And so, we've twisted their arm as much as we can to get as good a deal as we can for everybody. And I think you'll be surprised that, the prices are lower than they've been in the past. And there's a lot more food choices than in the past. We'll have everything from tacos, burgers, sandwiches, salads.
Yeah.
Lots of different drink options, coffee all weekend, alcohol all weekend. Everything in between. There's going to be special like teas and stuff like that. Because it is July, it's going to be hot,
yeah.
So the drink vendors are going to make a killing, but it's going to be a really nice concession setup, bigger than we've ever had in the past. So that part's going to be nice. And then the vendor hall itself, it's going to be set up pretty similar to how we've done it in the past, but a lot of, there's always new vendors every year. There's always a few that'll leave every year, a few new ones that come on every year. So it's always going to be different. Game Over, of course, will have a booth there. We always do. But it's definitely not a Game Over event anymore. It's run as a separate business, and I invite anybody with any store or any collection or anything they want to sell to come in and sell there. It is not a Game Over exclusive event. That was, 10 years ago or whatever, but now it's a full on convention. And we don't care who is there. Anybody that supports the retro community and sells retro gaming stuff, whether that's keychains, artwork, cool. There's gonna be some cool woodworkers there that have some really neat, small and large size, crafted, out of wood, video game related things for sale. Lots of cool crafts. There's always cool video game soaps and collectibles and things like that. There's going to be some trading card companies there, selling those. And then video game vendors, big and small. I mean, it's everything from just like a regular person that's just trying to unload some games that just wants to, trim their collection down and make a little cash, up to a big company like Game Exchange and Game Over and Holy Grail. Those are some of the big ones. And, they come every year and have massive booths. Both of their booths are just as big as the Game Over booth. So it's like there's three, massive gaming companies that come to CGF now, and we all have amazing stuff. And I want you to buy from all of us. Don't buy just from Game Over, buy from all of us. Because happy vendors make a happy event. They make happy attendees, they make people want to come back. And so we always want that community. We never set out with Classic Game Fest to make it a Game Over thing at the expense of everybody else. It's actually the opposite. It's like we want everyone to come party with Game Over, not just make it a Game Over thing. So, so we're really glad that now over the years, as it's evolved, that now we have, you know, over 100 vendors. And so, yeah, Game Over is one of them, and we'll have a big, nice booth. But, you know, if you don't like Game Over, there's 99 other places to spend your money there. You know, so there's a lot of cool stuff. And I encourage everyone to come and really every year to see the changes and see the new setup and the new vendors and the new events and new guests that we have every year. And we try and keep it fresh by changing that all the time. You know, some of our guests have been great and we have them back every year. And the ones that we don't, it's not because they're not great. It's just because we want new people to come every year. And it's the same with vendors. I mean, we love the fact that, you know, Game Over and Holy Grail and Game Exchange have been coming to CGF for years and they're happy. We love them. They love us. You know, we all make money. It's a community, you know, great event. But we also love all the small vendors and the ones that are coming for the first time. And so whether it's a one-time collection they're just selling, or if they, you know, we're just kind of testing the waters of CGF to see if they want to come back every year. It's always great to have the new people there. And kind of add them to the CGF family and let them, you know, be a part of this whole, you know, community that we're building, you know, that was a Game Over thing. And then it was like an Austin thing. And then it was a Texas thing. And now it's this national, you know, event that it literally attracts people from outside of Texas to come to it because it's so big and so, you know, such a diverse mix of vendors and events and entertainment and guests and everything that, you know, it's part of the fabric of the retro gaming community. And so we really, you know, take that seriously. And, you know, we value that opinion, that people hold of CGF, and we every year try and, you know, outdo ourselves to make it, you know, bigger, nicer, better. You know, some of the changes, will stick and some of the changes may not, and they may, you know, change back in future years, but we're always willing to try new things and to try and make it better all the time.
Awesome. Thanks again for coming on the show. I guess the last thing to talk about is, for attendees, where can they go and get tickets? What's the price point? And then how can, the listeners get connected, with you, Classic Game Fest and Game Over, online and offline?
Okay. Well, CGF tickets are still on sale. You can buy them, online at classicgamefest.com. And those, you know, there's different prices for the weekend or the single day passes. Kids 10 and under get in free. But an adult does have to go with them. We don't want a bunch of kids running around unchaperoned. that can be bad. But we love the kids to come and they really do have a blast. So, you know, it's well worth the price of, say, you know, one or two parents buying the admission and then bring your kids under 10 with you and they will really have a blast. And so, yeah, tickets are available there. We have some of the 2020 wristbands, these purple ones, still in stock at Game Over stores. We're selling those for only $20. So that's actually the cheapest way you can get a ticket right now, just because it says 2020 on it. We're just trying to get rid of those. But, you know, we don't want to throw it in the trash. So it's like, you know, we're trying to, you know, just sell them for less. But some local Game Over stores have some left. But after that, they're $25 online at the Classic Game Fest website. And then at the door, they're going to be $30. And then there are taxes and fees added on that too. So, so definitely cheapest to get it now, either at a Game Over store in person or online at classicgamefest.com. And then, yeah, the events, the 24th and 25th of July, we have it at late July every year. So it's something you can bank on us doing every year. We'll have it next year around the same exact time, you know, late July in Austin, Texas. So yeah, definitely keep a watch on your calendar for that. You can reach out, let me think, connections, this is going to be a lot of connections. So Game Over stuff, gameovervideogames.com. Like I said, we have 10 stores in Texas, 2 in Washington. You can shop online. You can do free in-store pickup. It all comes from our main warehouse in Austin here, but, you can choose to pick it up in your local Game Over store, at no additional charge. It just takes, you know, a week or it's about 3 to 7 days to get it there. And then you just pick it up at your local store, or it's $10 shipping if you live anywhere else in the US. So we appreciate all your business on that side. And then for the Classic Game Fest stuff, it's classicgamefest.com. You know, we have a social media, of course, like Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, same Classic Game Fest, you know, title. You can hashtag Classic Game Fest, to, you know, see past event pictures and also to post if you're there this year. Post all your picks, hashtag Classic Game Fest. There's videos online. Like you mentioned, your video is great. We have a trailer video. And if you just search YouTube for Classic Game Fest, you can probably find a bunch of videos from us and from other people that have just experienced it over the years, and just kind of see how it's grown and changed over the years. But lots of good content out there. For me personally, I guess for contact, I'm out there too. I honestly don't do social media a lot, but I'm always, happy to respond to anybody that wants to, chat or send me an email or something. Any email to info@classicgamefest or info@gameovervideogames.com. Both of those do come through me. So if you need me or want to talk to me, just put attention David or hey David or something in the subject line and I'll get that. Otherwise, I'm at Game Over CEO on social media. So I have Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Like I said, I don't post much or go there, super often. But anybody that wants to connect, I love to, hear from people and talk back and have conversations about, whatever. Reach out anytime. It's just Game Over CEO on any of those social media platforms.
And LinkedIn as well?
LinkedIn too. LinkedIn, I probably go to the least, I'm there. I think it's David Kalin 2600 is my LinkedIn, but that one I don't go to very often. So if you want to reach me, probably not best to go there. Probably to do Facebook is probably the best way. Message me. Okay. On there.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Again, thank you very much for coming on the show. This has been David Kalin of Game Over and Classic Game Fest. This has been the Esports Business Network.
Hey y'all, it's Trent Knox, founder and CEO of Esports Business Network. I want to say thank you for listening to this podcast. If you're finding value in the podcast, I would greatly appreciate it if you share the podcast to your network and write a positive review on your preferred podcast platform. If you're feeling extra generous, feel free to make a contribution to our working capital accounts on Cash App or PayPal. Our username is ESPORTSBIZNET. That's Esports BizNet on both platforms. As always, we'd love for you to join our community and platform at https://www.evn.gg. You can take advantage of a free subscription to our bronze membership by following the directions on the homepage. Part of the bronze membership is access to our Discord server and private membership channels. The conversation only evolves with participation from esports entrepreneurs like yourself. We need to hear about your esports business to understand how we can move the industry forward as a community. You can also join the community by joining the Facebook and LinkedIn groups. An additional goal of EBN is to move the conversation forward on your preferred social media platform. So as a last note, don't forget to follow us on social media for current events, news, and other esports related topics. Follow and subscribe to Esports Business Network on social media. Looking forward to networking with you very soon.